ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Connect Shastra to various thoughts that we have and events in the world, and also relate one verse to the next.
Gita talks about the mind. I know we got a pundit over here. What is your name?
Yash.
Yash is a pundit. Do you know which chapter it says, Krishna says the mind can be the best friend or the worst enemy? Yeah, that's right. Go ahead, say it.
Six?
Yeah. But don't say six. Say six. Just say it definitively.
Six.
Right. If you're going to make a mistake, do it boldly. Go down in flames if you do. So, okay, yeah, that's good. It's good you know that. So, knowing these connections and discussing Srimad Bhagavatam in the company of devotees, it gives you the power to distribute Srimad Bhagavatam, because Bhagavatam is a person. It's Krishna himself, incarnated. And when you imbibe Srimad Bhagavatam as your main business in life, then what happens is then Krishna enters it within your mind, your heart, and he starts to unravel the knots within the heart. If I was going to talk about cutting the knot in the heart, which verse would I quote from the Srimad Bhagavatam?
1.2.21,
and the verse is? If I didn't know where what it was, what would I do? You'd grab a device and look it up, or a book, or whatever you can. Won't you grab a book? Come on. That's why we have them. Bhagavatam's not for decoration. Every Bhagavatam in your house should be well worn, like the cover should almost be falling off, because you pick it up so many times. And so get in this habit. See, Prabhupada did this all the time. When he was talking amongst the devotees, he would say, find out that verse. And the devotees would have the books nearby and they'd grab them and look them up. So distribution of Bhagavatam starts with ourselves. It means always be distributing to yourself, hearing from Bhagavatam, pulling out the Bhagavatam, hearing. Because the way that you can be potent in distributing Srimad Bhagavatam is if you're living in it and it's informing your intelligence. Go ahead, Sri Dham. Do the Sanskrit.
Chedyante sarva samsaya, shiyante chasya karmani, trista evat manishvare.
Translation.
Thus the knot in the heart is pierced, and all misgivings are cut to pieces. Chain of fruit of actions is terminated when one sees the self as master.
Okay, Yash, you read the first paragraph, purport, loud.
Attaining scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead means seeing one's own self simultaneously. As far as the identity of the living being as a spirit self is concerned, there are a number of speculations and misgivings. The materialist does not believe in the existence of the spirit self, and the empiric philosophers believe in the impersonal feature of the whole spirit without individuality of the living beings. But the transcendentalists affirm that the soul and the super soul are two different identities, qualitatively but one, but quantitatively different. There are many other theories, but all of these different speculations are at once cleared off as soon as Sri Krishna is realized in the truth of the process by the process of Bhakti Yoga. Sri Krishna is like the sun, and the materialistic speculations about the absolute truth are like the darkest midnight. As soon as the Krishna sun is arising within one's heart, the darkness of materialistic speculations about the absolute truth and the living beings is at once cleared off. In the presence of the sun, the darkness cannot stand, and the relative truths that were hidden within the dense darkness of ignorance become clearly manifested by the mercy of Lord Krishna, who is residing in everyone's heart as a super soul.
Well done, by the way. Very well done. Yeah, so this is the first step for Srimad Bhagavatam, is make sure that you're tightly connected to the Bhagavatam every day. Don't think that you have to have a designated time, because many of you are very busy and you got a lot of parts to your life that are moving at the same time. Am I correct about that? So try to find the gaps also. When you have time in between one thing and the next, sometimes you think, oh, this will just take a couple minutes to wait for the next thing, but then it takes half an hour, or even if it's 5 minutes, that you can read one whole verse and imbibe it. And if you carry the verses with you also, wherever I go, I keep verses with me. In fact, as soon as I get to a new place, wherever I am, I have them, I put them on the wall. So while I'm in my room, I can see them with my eyes and so forth. So if you stay close to Bhagavatam, then it's something that's already in you that you can distribute to other people. You'll have a feeling for it, because that's the main thing that you're distributing, is a deep appreciation for what the Srimad Bhagavatam is through getting some realization. So we'll just read the first paragraph for now. And now, as far as distributing to people here in the UK, in your neighborhood, as usual, and as we've discussed before about the process of distribution, much of it is a process of selection. The more selection you do, rather than trying to convince people, the easier it is. So what makes book distribution easier? Which principle? Selection. Does everyone agree with that? Yep. What makes book distribution easier? If you want it if you have a spectrum and one side is much easier and the other side is really hard, what principle would make it easier?
Selection.
Do you agree? Would you agree? Selection. What would you say I mean by selection? What metaphor do we often give about it?
Metaphor, but you find the ripest in the spectrum.
Ripest is a metaphor, right? For what?
Ripe fruit.
Fruit, yeah. So looking for ripe fruits. Especially with Bhagavatam distribution, what I've found is there are some families that are super pious. And you open the door, they see devotees, and they say, come on in. That would be on the really, you know, pious side of the spectrum. Have you ever had that happen?
Yes.
Go door to door, they say, come on in. So in some parts of the population, it's more prevalent than others. I mean, that's part of their culture, some people. But if that happens, you're in a really good position to sell a Bhagavatam set, to try to get invited in. So once you get invited in to the home, bring the Bhagavatam with you. Now this may require some logistics, because Bhagavatams are heavy, not just philosophically, but also they have a little physical weight to them. So don't try to just carry it around all day in your arms, because you'll get tired, and then you'll maybe not want to do it anymore. Did you write down pristine?
Yeah.
Did you write down empiric?
Pardon?
Empiric. It's in that first paragraph, if you want to find the word again. So if you have a trolley that you can bring, do you all have trolleys?
What we do, Maharaj, is that we station our car. Each car will have a set of Bhagavatam, and we carry, Prabhu will be distributing one or two cantos to each to carry, as and when we strike the deal, the Bhagavatam just follows. We send a message and somebody brings the side over Maharaj from the car.
Okay, that's good. Whatever you can do. I do recommend a trolley, though. Because if you have the right tools for the job, if you're in the kitchen and you don't have a good knife, cooks, anyone? How do you feel? You want to use a spoon to cut up potatoes or something like that? So don't hold back on getting the best stuff, best tools. And don't scrimp and think, I'll save because, you know, I can do this or that. Whenever you see a need for a tool, get it, because any little advantage you can get physically that will help the whole team and it'll encourage you to get the Bhagavatam closer to their house. So the closer it is, like if you have it on a trolley right with you when you knock on the door and they say, come on in, you don't have to run back to the car and get the books. You can just wheel it in. And once you wheel it in, it's a Trojan horse. Do you guys know what a Trojan horse is? Write down the phrase Trojan horse. You can ask Siri later. And so that's an ideal situation. You know, they just invite you in. Some of the ways in which the devotees have success in distributing full sets of books is they're selective in neighborhoods. That's the first selection that you make. So if you look for neighborhoods that have a good school district, and that often means there are Indian families there, that'll help. Because right now, those are the lowest hanging fruits there are as far as selling sets of Srimad Bhagavatams. Would you agree? Yeah, and the more selective you can be, the better. So in Illinois, we happen to have a real estate agent who's a devotee and who could actually go through his database and find out. So when we drove to neighborhoods, we just drive to an address. And the people were surprised because they just saw us driving through the neighborhood and then pull up at their house and they thought, like, are you guys cousins or something? So that's how, the more selective you are in picking the neighborhood and the houses. The other day I was in Dallas and we were going door to door and we'd ask people after we'd talk to them, you know, do you know your neighbors? What are they like? And they'd tell us, oh, it's a Patel, you know, or whatever. And then we'd have a good idea of where we were going. So that's one thing. Another way that the devotees who sell sets connect to just speaking about Indians, is they know the local saints that match up with their particular region of India. So, you know, when you talk to Indians, you want to talk in terms of the saints that they revere. Like if someone came to your door, even if they were Jehovah's Witness, let's say, they came to your door. Is that possible? Jehovah's Witness comes to your door? What do you get when you cross a Jehovah's Witness and an atheist? What do you get when you cross... Listen, Sridham. What do you get when you cross a Jehovah's Witness and an atheist? Someone who rings your doorbell for no reason. Okay. So if a Jehovah's Witness came to your door and they said, oh, we love Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how would you feel? You'd suddenly feel a little different than you did the second before where you thought, you know, how quickly can I ask these people to not stay here at my door because I'm busy. So in a similar way, people from various regions of India revere saints. And therefore, if you can have a list of those in your mind, and if they say a particular part of India, then you say the saint. Also, it really helps if you know either the language they speak or a few words in the language they speak. How many of you here speak Tamil or Kannada? Which do you speak? Tamil. So, you know, if you met a family that speaks Tamil, what is your name? Tirumahar. Tiru? Mahar. Tirumahar. So you would call Tirumahar Mataji, come over quick, because she could say a few things. What saints are mostly prevalent for Tamil speakers, would you say?
Dhammaravicharya? No, Ramanuja.
Ramanuja, yeah. Ramanuja might be prevalent. We do have a list of them that they've compiled from ISV that we can distribute in a little while. But this is one of the first things that's important. Another thing that's important in presenting the Srimad Bhagavatam door to door is focusing on who will get the benefit from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Is it the person standing at the door, most likely? What did you say? Not most likely, because the person standing at the door will tell you, I'm busy, I don't have time to read, or I already know this. But the people that they'll have in mind, that they'll appreciate getting a person who would get the benefit of the Bhagavatam would be their kids. And so if you talk about the way in which children can assimilate Srimad Bhagavatam and the result of them doing so, this is a topic that people are very interested in, because they're interested in seeing their kids become advanced and spiritually and at least get some values in life. And outside of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's a desert. Kids who go to normal schools generally don't get the kind of values that their parents were hoping they would get. And so you can point out to them that this is for the kids. And another thing that Indians often make a mistake about is, and they generalize, and when you show Srimad Bhagavatam, they'll say, oh, Bhagavad Gita, I have the Bhagavad Gita. And so you can point out that in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives philosophical points, but that all the philosophical points from the Bhagavad Gita are extended into stories, so that you can actually appreciate in the Srimad Bhagavatam the philosophical points that Krishna made in the Bhagavad Gita. And you can show them pictures. For instance, there's the story of Prahlad Maharaj and Lord Nrsingadeva. It's a very interesting story, and it has pictures that goes along with it. And the values and the philosophical points that Krishna makes in the Bhagavad Gita are explained through the stories of Prahlad Maharaj in his life. For instance, tolerance is something that Prahlad Maharaj exemplified, and he showed how to be tolerant. So what is the first thing I said about the presenting the Srimad Bhagavatam? What? Actually, the first thing I said is you should distribute it to yourself. That's the most important point, because if other people don't get it, at least you do. So your life should be centered around Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's helpful to be on a schedule of reading Srimad Bhagavatam. For instance, if you just happen to carve out enough time so you could read 8 pages a day, then you would be able to finish the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, all 12 cantos, in just 5 years. And if you weren't satisfied with that, who's to stop you from saying that you'll read a few more pages every day? I mean, for instance, you could get on a schedule, and I know many people who are, including myself, who read at least 41 pages of Bhagavatam a day. Does that seem like a lot? If it seems like a lot, you can work your way into it, because it's just a habit. And anybody here have any habits? Okay. We're creatures of habit. And if you want to know about the story of success in life, it's about developing good habits. And the exciting aspect of being a human being is you can decide at any time to develop a new habit. You don't have to be the same tomorrow as you were today. You can change things by just making a determination to start a new habit. I suggest the best of all habits is to be on a schedule of reading Srimad Bhagavatam. And I also suggest that examine Srila Prabhupada's life. Don't fidget or mess around, listen. The example of Srila Prabhupada's life was what? When he was writing his books, what kind of schedule was he on, you say?
Write his books early in the morning.
You know everything, you kids. You're very good. What is your name?
Rishabh.
That means the best of all. So, Rishabha, Prabhupada spent a lot of time writing his books, right? And he even sacrificed his sleep for that. I'm not suggesting you sacrifice your sleep, especially when you're young. But what he did do is he gave focus every single day to writing his books. So I may not be able to write books like Prabhupada. I definitely can't. But I can try to give as much energy to reading them as he gave to writing them. What do you think of that concept, Rishabha? Do you like it?
Yeah.
What do you like about it?
The reciprocation.
That was a good word. He said reciprocation. That was really nice. I like that a lot. Reciprocation. You know, Prabhupada put his energy, he gave his life, actually, sacrificed his life, just like Didichi. Who's Didichi? What's your name?
Madhu.
That's Madhu. He looks like Madhu. Madhu, who is Didichi? Call a friend. Ask a friend. Then find somebody in the room. You have to, if you hear a name or a concept, you have to know how to look it up, find it. Find out, ask somebody. Look, I think you have a well-wisher back there that's going to help you. Find out who is Didichi, and you will know the great secret of life. Madhu, you'll know the great secret of life if you find out who is Didichi. How many of you know who Didichi is? Raise your hand. Okay, one, two. If we should all hear then who Didichi is, because if you know who Didichi is and you meditate on him, your life will become sublime. Do you want to know who Didichi is now?
Yes.
Who is he? Do you have a spokesperson here? Looks like Sri Dham. The search for Didichi. Just tell us who he is.
Didichi, also known as Dadyancha or Dadyanga, is a central character in Hinduism. Didichi is primarily known for sacrificing his life to the devas or benevolent celestial beings, can make the weapon called Vraja from his wounds. After being driven out from Svarga or heaven by the serpent king of Rip.
Can you all hear back there? You can hear.
The devas needed a powerful weapon to aid their fight. By making use of the Vajra, made from the sage Didichi's bones, the devas defeated the Asura and reclaimed heaven.
There you go. I mean, and this is Didichi was a great sage, and when Vritrasura was born from the fire, because the father of Vishwarup, who was killed by Indra, wanted to kill Indra, so he created this demon named Vritrasura. And so the demigods didn't know what to do, so they got advice from Lord Vishnu that you go to Didichi and you ask him for his bones. Sri Dham, if somebody came and asked you for a little donation, would you give it? Say yes.
Yeah.
If they ask you for your bones as a donation, would you give them?
No.
If it was a devotee, would you give it to a devotee? Say yes. Not many people would give their bones, but Didichi did, because he reasoned this, that everything in this world will be destroyed, including my body. And if I can find a preemptive way to give it to the Lord before it's destroyed, then I will get the greatest benefit. This is the most fantastic doctrine in the world. And this is the very essence of sacrifice, the idea of sacrifice. If you intentionally give something that is going to be taken anyway, doesn't it make more sense? I mean, just foolish if you wait till it's taken away. So Didichi, or Dadyancha, was very eager to give up his body for the sake of Lord Vishnu, because Lord Vishnu had recommended they come and ask him for charity. So this is an important principle. So the principle of giving in charity. How did I get there? Follow back. Yes, so he made a sacrifice. So if you make a sacrifice some of your time, some of your energy, your attention span, and you give it to Srimad Bhagavatam, It's the greatest of all sacrifices. You'll be like Didichi. Madhu? Who is Didichi in one sentence? Just say, he's a great sage who sacrificed his life for a higher cause. Say that. Yes, exactly. So that's the secret of life as given in the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. Sacrifice for a great cause. So that story is there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So first thing is, bring the Bhagavatam with you, both in your heart and mind, and also physically. Because one of the laws of book distribution is the more you show, the more you show,
the more you sell.
I'm not convinced you know these laws. The more you show,
the more you sell.
What's the first law of book distribution?
Book distribution is a strong sadhana.
The first law of book distribution is your sadhana must be strong. Say it.
Your sadhana must be strong.
Yeah, because if you have strong sadhana, if you chant really good rounds, first of all, you'll solve all your problems. Because all problems come from the mental plane. And the only way to overcome them is by good japa. And so make that your first priority. Your sadhana must be strong if you're going to distribute books, because you're distributing the overflow of what you're getting from your own sadhana. What's the second law of book distribution?
Organize.
Huh?
Organize.
No, that's the fourth.
The more you show, the
second. You can summarize it in two words.
Read.
Get books. Get books, have books. Everyone say the second law.
Get books.
Say it a little more enthusiastically.
Get books.
You know, these are rare literatures. Books are rare anyway. We take them for granted nowadays because of modern technology. They can just be cranked out. But actually making paper itself is a very difficult thing. At the BBT meeting last year in Sweden, we went to a paper-making factory, and we all made paper by hand. And you can see what a process it is. You know, there's a tree that gets cut or some other kind of plant that gives fiber. And then you have to make pulp, and then the pulp goes in water, and then it gets sucked out onto a screen, then it goes into a roll, and then the roll, you know, gets cut up into pieces. And it's a big deal. What to speak of figuring out the size of the book, how to get the print. And the whole printing press thing is no small technology. Nowadays we see a book and we just say, it's just a book. But actually it's a big deal. It's the actual vibration of the spiritual world being transferred into a written form. It's where the eternal meets the temporal world. It's like a deity, just like that. It's the best of all deities because it can be distributed from place to place. I was just in New York and we were getting off the very crowded subway. It's a very gray place, a station we were getting off in, and a lot of drudgery, write it down, going along in the, you know, through the subway. Write it. Don't worry what it means, just write it, we'll get it later. And then, you know, I looked and one of the people getting off the train had one of Prabhupada's books in his hand because one of the devotees had distributed it. We had a group of us. And I just noticed, it was like a movie where you see everything's gray except for one character has, you know, color. And that's how it looked to me. And that one person had one of Prabhupada's books and it was very profound. And I was thinking how profound it is that we have these books. So don't take them for granted. Get these books. Keep them in your house. Keep them in your car. Carry them with you wherever you go. Third law of book distribution is?
The more you show, the more you sell.
And everyone say it, please.
The more you show, the more you sell.
And the fourth law of book distribution?
Organize.
You must organize. You can treat it as a hobby, and you can randomly do a few books here and there. But if you want to actually be progressive and develop something, then organize. Use all organizing skills. Don't hold back on anything. Technology, knowledge that's available now through... management's taught now as a science. You can study it and find out how to build an empire. Anybody can do it. If Steve Jobs, he was barefoot when he started the Apple Corporation in a garage. And he just step by step organized and it turned into a multinational company. So these four laws. So the more the show, the more you sell. So if you bring Bhagavatams with you door to door, then you have something to show. What are the chances of selling a set of Bhagavatams if you don't bring one with you?
None.
Yeah, if you don't have one, it's very slim to none as far as selling a set. So having it, and most of the devotees would carry one volume in their hand to show, and then the box is so nearby it's within striking distance that it can be wheeled in as a Trojan horse. You wrote that down, right?
Yeah.
We'll look it up later. So you've got the Bhagavatam, you can show them at the door, and you're looking for people who invite you in. You try to make a cultural connection to find out what part of India they're from and match up with either a word in their language or one of the local saints. And when you do that, then you can also start to show the Bhagavatam to them and explain that this is something that kids, when they hear the stories of the Bhagavatam, they start to imbibe the values that come from Bhagavad Gita in story form. So it's Bhagavad Gita, which they already know is the philosophy, but the story form of the philosophy is there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And you can explain to them that when the kids read this, then they become fortified, they get the values, they know the knowledge, they know how to understand, or they can understand the knowledge that comes from Krishna and the Bhagavad Gita, and they'll be interested in it through the pictures and stories in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes, Prabhu.
Before I forget to mention it, Maharaj, the body should know we have English, Gujarati, Hindi, Tamil, and Telugu.
Oh, that's good. Okay, good. Yes, Sridhar.
I already looked up what Trojan horse means.
Okay, tell us what Trojan horse means.
A hollow wooden statue of a horse in which the Greeks are said to have concealed themselves in order to enter Troy.
Yeah, so they came with this big horse, wooden horse, as a gift. There was no way they could get through the fortress. So they brought up a huge horse, but they put their army inside the horse. And when the palace doors open, they let the horse in, then all the soldiers got out inside the palace, inside the fortress, and were able to conquer. So that's what's known as a Trojan horse. So when they invite us in and we bring the Bhagavatam in, then it becomes a Trojan horse. Does that make sense? Yeah. So coming into the home, taking some time to make a connection with people, and also explaining the benefits of the Srimad Bhagavatam for the kids, and talking about how the local saints of their particular place had appreciated Srimad Bhagavatam, and the values that the Srimad Bhagavatam teaches. And then also talking about the benefit of preserving Vedic literature, and that one of the most important services that anybody can do is to help preserve the Vedic literature, just like Matsyadev did, who kept the Vedas up on a tractor, an airplane. A what?
A boat.
You sticking with that answer? Okay, that is correct. Keeping up on a boat to preserve them, that story is there in the Bhagavatam, and you can present that many families are taking this into their home to help preserve the literature, because it's a known fact that thousands of original Vedic scriptures are lost every year in India because they fall apart, they're destroyed, and they're not archived or kept. And the way that over time these scriptures are kept intact is that people take care of them. Some people keep them in libraries. Some people keep them in very pristine conditions. Pristine means?
Having its original purity, uncorrupted or unsullied.
Uncorrupted or unsullied, yeah. And so there's a project in Calcutta that the devotees have preserving some of the original literatures. For instance, you can see the handwritten copy from Bhaktivinoda Thakur writing Udila Aruna And also the Artik song that we sing? Gora Artik, it's there. You can see how he wrote the whole thing and then he inserted one line later. It's in his own handwriting. And so appealing to people about the importance of preserving the Vedic literature, keeping it in their home, it also helps to take the books out of the box so they can see them because they're very beautiful and you can show them. So then it's a matter of telling them that they can keep the set of Bhagavatams in their home. There's a nominal price of $250. How much do you charge here?
£199.
And anything that we say back in America, we say $250, and anything you give over that is a donation that goes to help print more books. So then a lot of people give more than that.
And for the other languages, it's 175 because the printing is a bit more economical. For English, it's 190.
Okay, so for other languages, 175. And do you take credit cards?
Yes, each group will have a credit card machine.
Okay, and do you take time payments?
What is the time payment?
Installments.
We are in the process of working that out, but yes, if somebody is not able to do, we'll take their contact details and we can establish.
Okay, so installments is something that works also. Yes. Now, some of the objections, people will say that I don't have time to read this. So one of the things that you can point out to them is our app called Be a Sage Page by Page. How many of you have the app? I suggest you get it, it's free. And you put it on your phone and it tells you how many pages to read each day. And it'll remind you to read your pages to finish the Bhagavatam within a certain amount of time. Or any other book that we have. And you can show them, because oftentimes people get overwhelmed and you say, look, if you just read this many pages a day, you're going to finish the whole thing in a few years and you're going to be 5 years older in 5 years anyway. So if you add this to your life, you'll be spiritually minded and it'll bring a lot of benefits. And the other thing is to tell them that, explain what vastu means. And vastu describes how every object that we keep in our environment has an effect on us. And the Srimad Bhagavatam is an inherently spiritual object. So when you keep it in your home, it actually radiates spiritual energy and good fortune into your house. And just by keeping it, even if you don't have time to read it right now, just keeping the object in your house will transform the environment of your home and it will make it spiritual and it will bring good fortune into your house. So that's a good reason to keep it. And another reason to keep it is for preservation. Even if you don't have time to read it every day and memorize it, do you think you could memorize the Bhagavatam?
No.
Why? Why do you think that?
Stupid.
How old are you?
Eight.
You could memorize a chapter of the Bhagavatam, right? Do you think you could memorize 34 verses? Say yes. Say yes.
Yes.
Yeah, you could do it. You could memorize 34 verses. Which chapter has 34 verses that you could think of? Second. And it's a good chapter to memorize. Many, many people have memorized the second chapter of the Bhagavatam. You guys could memorize it in 30 days. If you sat in a circle and you chanted it every day, do you think you could do it?
Yeah.
You want to try?
Yeah.
Let's try. We could start while we're here. We'll chant it together and then you can keep doing it. You'll really, I've seen kids, different places where we chant shlokas together. It takes them maybe, and only we chant it, I chant it with them only once a week because I see them on Sundays, but they chant it, they learn it at home without a lot of study, just hearing it. When you're young, if you hear stuff over and over, just you'll memorize it really quickly. You could memorize it in a month. What do you think?
Yeah.
Say yes, thanks. Yeah, so you could tell them that just by keeping in their house, they also help to preserve. So preservation radiates good fortune. And also, if you read to the kids, you can bring out the fact that we have many children that have learned to read from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And one of them is an exemplar. His name is Radhika Raman. And he's a professor at the University of Utah. And he got his PhD, his doctorate, when he was before he was 20 years old. And now he's a full professor in charge of the department in the university. And he learned to read on the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is something we bring up often. We have a picture of this devotee that we can show people, you know, how he grew up learning the Bhagavatam and how potent it is. Again, it goes back to the kids. Other questions? Yes.
I have my own faith. I don't need this.
I have my own faith. I don't need this. Is that a ripe fruit or an unripe fruit? Yeah, not so ripe. For Bhagavatam set, you'll need a little more of an opening than that. I mean, you can pursue that a little further, but there are ripe fruits and unripe fruits, and some people, when they're unripe, it means they're really not open. You know, they already have something and they're not interested in anything else. And so giving yourself permission to pass over the unripe fruits, it removes a lot of anxiety from your presentation. Because if you're anticipating trying to convince people who are not convincible, then it adds a lot of stress to your life. If you more easily, especially in the beginning, let those ones go and look for the ones who say something like, what would they say if they were more open to the Bhagavatam?
Please come in.
Please come in. What else would they say?
Can I know more about this?
Yeah, exactly.
We have the Bhagavad Gita.
We have the Bhagavad Gita. What's in the Srimad Bhagavatam? These are all signs of somebody who's more of a ripe fruit. And I already have my own faith. That's a real strong closer. Like, it closes the door a lot. And, I mean, there are ways you can keep going with that, but you don't have to. Just know, give yourself permission to be a little easier to move on. It saves a lot of mental strain. I could tell by looking at you just when I said that, you've all started feeling more relaxed. Right? Don't you?
Yeah.
It just gives yourself permission to move on. And the main thing is leave everyone with a good impression. You don't have to pry and push and try to do all kinds of stuff. Look for the easier ones first. And, I mean, you can experiment if you want and talk about how, you know, the Bhagavatam completely rejects all religious activities that are materially motivated and things like that. And explain, you know, you can try that if you like. But even as you're doing it, keep a modicum, write that down. Modicum. M-O-D-I-C-U-M. Modicum of detachment in your heart so that, you know, when you're presenting it, it's not like you have to have them flip and take this. Does that help?
Yes.
Okay. Other questions? Yes. Okay. One, two, and then back.
Yeah, generally, when devotees are going out, I think they're very shy in terms of asking for donation, you know, Lakshmi, even when they're distributing small books. So when it comes to Srimad Bhagavatam, because you're asking considerable amount, and how do you come across that block? Because generally, I think that's the block. You know, they're not convinced that we are able to distribute these sets.
Well, there's a couple things. One is just be in experiment mode. If you're attached to the result that somebody has to say yes, then you might be a little afraid to ask a certain thing. But if you're in experimentation mode, and it's just like, let me experiment today. What happens when I ask people for $1,000? With no attachment to whatever they say. You'll be surprised at, you know, the kinds of answers that you get. You might start to discover it was like, oh, actually, people took me seriously. And they'll start explaining, well, I don't really have 1,000 right now. It's like, well, you even like took that seriously to even think about it. You'll start to see that, you know, there's no necessity of being really attached to the result of it. So just be in experimentation mode and just say the number. And don't worry about whether they say yes or no. Lots of people say yes, it's not a big deal. The other is to consider the fact that $250 is really not very much, or 199 pounds. It's not very much at all. I mean, I often tell people it's the cost of a salad at a good restaurant in California. You know, it's like people spend money on all kinds of electronic toys and things like that that cost far more than that. And what is the result? It's here today, gone tomorrow, right? But the Bhagavatam will be in your family. You'll be able to pass it along. The paper is engineered in such a way to last 500 years because it's acid-free paper. And you can pass this down over many generations. What to speak of like some electronic thing that's going to be broken or obsolete within a year. And people spend all the time on an iPhone. They'll spend $1,000. And next year they got to buy a new one. Or suffer like anything for not having the newest thing. But Bhagavatam's always there. Any other things? Yes?
We once met a lady who goes to the temple regularly. She's also attending courses. And she had many Srila Prabhupada books, including Bhagavad Gita. So she had heard of Srila Bhagavatam and she was thinking about getting it in the future. So we tried to encourage her if she wanted to get it right now at her doorstep. But she said, no, I'd rather go to the temple and get it, and we just couldn't move her on that.
Well, one of the things that we say when people say that, and that's a very common thing, people say, I'll come to the temple. Or they say, do you have a website? Mm. And when they start saying that stuff, it means that they're trying to get out of it right now. So one of the things that appeals to Indians oftentimes, Hare Krishna, is that, Hare Krishna, welcome. Didn't you just walk in? Okay, Hare Krishna. One of the things that appeals to Indians is the fact that there some auspicious thing just happened, and it did. So we point out to people, first of all, the first rule is honor their objection. Don't object to their objection, but honor it. So if they say, well, I'd rather get this at the temple, they say, I really like what, you know, how you're thinking. That's a really good idea. As soon as somebody gives an objection, just really lean into it and honor it. It's like, wow, I really like how you think. That's a great idea. So first honor it. So what do you do with objections?
Honor.
Yeah. What do you do when somebody objects?
Honor.
Honor the objection. And how much should you honor it?
Quite a lot.
Quite a lot? You lean into it. That's really, really, I really like that. That's a good way to think. So I'll give an objection and you really lean into it, okay? You know, I think I'd rather come to the temple to get it. No, lean into it. See, you're like this. You want to lean into it like, whoa, that's really, what a great idea. Okay, so you say, why don't you take it right now? I think I'd rather come to the temple and get it. No, lean into it with your... Yeah, like this.
Wow, what a great way of thinking.
Yeah, okay, all of you try it at the same time. I'd rather come to the temple and get it.
Wow.
Yeah, so when you really honor an objection, the more you honor it, the more it dissipates. And the more you try to object to their objection, the more it grows. So if you've ever experienced that frustrating situation where somebody makes an objection and then you object to their objection and it seems to get bigger and stronger and harder, turns into like a big demon, it's because whatever you resist persists and it grows stronger. And whatever you honor, it starts to diminish. So if you really want to diminish their objection a lot, you really have to lean into it. So now all of you, you asked me, you could take the Srimad Bhagavatam, we'll just leave it here with you, and I'll say, I have come to the temple, and I want you to really lean into it and say, wow, I really like how you think. That's a really fantastic idea. So go ahead and ask me.
Why do you take the Srimad Bhagavatam?
I think I'd rather come to the temple and pick it up.
Wow!
You're the right thing.
Yeah. And how that made me feel right now, it's like, you honored my objection. Because my objection is my objection. And, you know, if you try to change it, if you try to object to my objection, it really kind of makes me feel dishonored. And I, you know, you didn't acknowledge me at all. So it's super acknowledge, super honor whenever they give an objection. And you'll see, as soon as you do, the harder you lean into it, the more it'll shrink. Their objection will get smaller. Then you can replace it with another well-reasoned idea. And here's an idea that you could present, especially to Indians, but to anybody actually, to say, yeah, I really like the way you think, come and pick it up at the temple. I think that's a good idea. Just totally accept it. Honor it and accept it. That's a good idea. I think you should do that. But here's one thought. It's very rare that Krishna comes to your house. We didn't know you lived here. So this must be Krishna's arrangement. So just consider. You're so good, you're planning on coming to the temple. But the temple just came to you. I mean, this is amazing. So, you know, you've changed it, you've honored their objection, and you've diminished it by honoring it and even accepting it. It's like, okay, I accept that. Now, give a replacement. But here's something amazing. You're so special. Somehow Krishna picked you out. And, you know, you can come to the temple. I think that's a good idea. You should. You should get to the temple. But today, the temple came to you. And Krishna's here right now. And oftentimes I tell people a story. I say, you can get it later. But I just want to tell you a quick story first. There was a bee. And one day it entered into a lotus garden. And it landed on the sweetest of the lotus flowers. And it was smelling the lotus all day long. Till the sun started to go down and the lotus began to close. And a great sage walked through the lotus garden. And he said to the bee, you should come out now. And the bee said to the sage, I'll come out later. Because after all, it'll open back up again in the morning. The sage said, come out now. The lotus closed, the bee stayed inside. He was sleeping, smelling the beautiful fragrance. And that night, a maddened elephant came through the forest. He scooped up all the lotuses and ate them. And that was the end of the bee. And that's the end of the story. And then I say, so you know better than I. And now say this mantra, you know better than I.
You know better than I.
You know more than I do.
You know more than I do.
You know better than I.
You know more than I
do. You know more than I do.
You know more than I do.
You know better than I.
You know better than I.
You know more than I do.
You know more than I do.
Subhasha Shigram. If something is auspicious, you should do it right now. So this is honoring the objection really heavily. As hard, you know, as hard as you can lean into and accept and appreciate their objection, that then diminishes it enough so that you can actually, you know, after you've done a little chemotherapy, you can actually offer some, you know, fresh stem cells to go in. The idea that, here's another idea. I mean, your idea is good and we've already accepted it. But here's another idea. You could also do this as well. So it's not that you're objecting to their thing. And then also, whenever you're talking to people, you can insert at least two or three times in the conversation that you know more about this than I do. And you know better than I. You know more about this than I do. Say it. It's a simple mantra, just say it. You know more about this than I do.
You know more about this than I do.
Turn somebody next to you and say it.
You know better.
Turn to somebody and say it. Again, you know more about this than I do. You know more about this than I do. You know more about this than I do. These are powerful mantras because you're changing the relationship with people. You know more about this than I do. And then it opens them to say what you're about to say, because The reason they don't want to hear what you're about to say is because what they're thinking is, why is this person condescending and trying to teach me something? I'm okay. Everyone in the material world thinks I'm fine, and I don't want to be rescued, and I don't want to be condescended to. And so that when you use these mantras, it removes that obstacle from their mind and heart. It really helps. Did I answer your question?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, good.
Thank you.
Okay, good. What other questions do you have, and how much time do we have? Yes, Mataji.
Actually, I have a question. I don't know if it's more of my own mental block about it.
Okay.
I just feel that when we are doing Srimad Bhagavatam door to door, say that, you know, Prabhupada, when he said for devotees, he said, okay, first read Bhagavad Gita, then Bhagavatam, so that we have the right consciousness to read it and value it. But when I'm at the door, I don't know about the other person. I don't know how much would they value the book or respect the book. They could be meat eating.
Yeah.
No, so, I mean, I just feel sometimes that giving it at the door doesn't turn Srila Prabhupada's books into potatoes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, I don't know if it's, I am completely wrong, but it's just a mental block that probably stops me from doing the Srimad Bhagavatam door.
No, I totally appreciate what you're saying. And I really like the way you put it. And I agree. We should be really careful. In fact, Prabhupada was talking about the holy names with some devotees, and they were talking about how in some traditions, like the Jewish tradition, they don't say the name of God. It's spelled out in code because they say it's too sacred to say the name. And Prabhupada agreed with them. He said, yeah, that's an important point. That's why he said that we recite the 10 offenses. Because you really should be careful. You shouldn't profane the name of God and just say it aimlessly or you know, without respect, proper respect. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, don't give this to people who are not devoted or austere. It should not be distributed to anyone. So what do we do? Well, the answer is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is described in the Bhagavatam, Mayam Ragam Dayita Yipsitaman Vidavat. And this specifically means, according to Vishwanath, that he chased after people who are like animals. Mrigam. Mrigam means like an animal, like a deer. They're animal-like people. But it was his mode. I mean, he's the reason that he's called the most merciful incarnation of God is because he didn't care for a lot of these things. He just felt such compassion for the living entities that the Chaitanya Charitamrita says he didn't consider who was a fit or unfit candidate. He didn't consider where it was a good time or a bad time. He just took all those things off the table. There was no consideration except everyone must get Krishna consciousness. Now, on a practical level, we really should make sure that we're putting them into a good home. And you can discern that when you go there, because if they invite you in and they say, yeah, you know, finally they'll take the Bhagavatam, or on the street. You know, we don't just stand at street corners and hand out free Bhagavad Gitas, because they would definitely end up in the trash. As you know, when I was distributing books in the 70s, people used to steal them all the time. That became a sport, especially in the airports. We dominated the airports for many years, I'm very proud to say. But we were just kids, and we'd go up to people. How old are you?
12.
I was 16 when I started distributing books, so four years older than you. And you know, we'd go up to show somebody a book, and they'd just grab it and say thanks, and they'd take off with it. It became a problem for a while. And we asked Prabhupada what to do. People were stealing books. Would you like to know what he said?
Yes.
Mataji?
Yes.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you want to know? 20! That's Utsahan. She has Utsahan. 20. Okay. Now I'm inspired to tell you.
No, I really want to know.
Okay.
Whatever Srila Prabhupada says, I want to know.
He said, lucky thief.
I know!
You know, that's how Prabhupada was thinking. And, you know, he never slowed us down from distributing books, mass quantity. But The fact is that he told us we should try to get a donation. Because he said once they give a donation, then they'll think, what has this rascal given me? I gave my hard-earned $10. That was a lot back then. You know, it's more like $50 an hour or something like that. I've given my hard-earned money. So what has this rascal given me? And they'll think about it. And so when Krishna says, don't give it to people who aren't devoted or austere, that translates practically into set up a scenario in which they appreciate what it actually is. So if they give a donation, that's a kind of penance. And I tell people that straight out. When I ask them for donations, I say, we don't sell it like in a bookstore, but we just ask for a donation. We don't need the money. But when you give something in return for spiritual knowledge, it's called dakshina. And it helps connect you through the sacrifice you make to the previous teachers who have passed it down and allows you to enter deeply within the knowledge. In other words, I'm presenting this idea that it's not for me, I don't need the money. It's not to pay for the book even. It's actually for you so you can read and understand it. And that's the fact. So that fulfills that idea of being devoted or austere, because if someone takes some money out and gives it, or if people give their attention. Have you ever heard, what is your name? Huh? Revathi. Have you ever heard the term pay attention? Has anybody ever said it to you? Pay attention all the time? I mean, think about what that means. Pay, you know, if someone says pay the babysitter, you know, what do you do? Give some money, right? If someone says pay attention, I mean, it's paying something. Your attention is very valuable. So if someone gives attention to what you're saying, and then it turns out they just don't have any money, but they were very attentive and they're interested, that's another kind of penance. They gave their attention. They paid something, right, Revati? So then you can let them have it, because that, you know, it gave some qualification for them to take it. Does that help? Now, I'll just tell you a story. We have a devotee in our congregation now who's one of our biggest distributors of Bhagavatams. He's also become, you know, a great leader at ISV. And he's initiated by a bona fide spiritual master and chanting 16 rounds every day, following four regular principles. When one of our Sankirtan devotees met him door to door selling sets, he still ate meat. But somehow or other he had the piety to buy a set of books, Bhagavatams, put them in his house. And I was getting reports every week what was happening to him after he bought the set. One of the reports that came in was he sat down to eat meat and he regurgitated right at the table. There was something about the presence of the Bhagavatam and the whole interaction he had with the devotees. He could no longer eat it. It just came right back out again, right at the dinner table. And from that day forward, he didn't eat meat again. Then he started chanting Hare Krishna. Then he started reading Bhagavatam every day. Then he decided to start coming to the temple regularly and doing service. And he got himself totally steady over a few years, and then he took initiation. And now he's one of the most enthusiastic distributors of Bhagavatams. So, I mean, it's Lord Chaitanya's mercy. And Prabhupada came to a country just full of meat eaters. I mean, he didn't even know if he was going to find anything to eat. He brought a little bag of oats with him, just in case there was nothing to eat here. So this is our legacy. You know, we're following in the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada, so you can think like that. Even with deities, Prabhupada told Dayananda when he became a grihastha, he, Dayananda, wanted to know from Prabhupada, what can I do as a source of income? Prabhupada said, you can import Gornitai Murtis from India and you can sell them. And he said, not just to devotees, you can take them out on the street or door to door and tell people they're Hare Krishna dolls. Prabhupada said, people collect dolls from China, Mexico, around the world. And he said, you tell them that these Hare Krishna dolls will fulfill all your desires if you keep them in your house. And then he said, they'll have to ask questions like, well, how is it they fulfill all desires? Then you can start preaching the philosophy. And Dayananda Prabhu had a few questions about that. And Prabhupada said, Don't worry, even if they go to a house of a meat eater, Gornitai are so merciful that they won't take offense. So, you know, this is the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu going here, there, and everywhere. I can tell you Prabhupada never stopped us from distributing books. I've held people's cigarettes in my hand so they could dig in their pocket to, you know, I mean, I've even held, I won't say other things I held. But, you know, it's for the sake of, you know, they're digging to give a donation from the Bhagavad Gita, and I'm holding whatever they were just eating. Because the main point is, we're trying to inject Krishna consciousness, and Krishna appreciates the fact that we're going down into those trenches and doing what we have to do. Right? Yes, another question? Yes.
Fruits or a lighter, I think you mentioned. And
that's
you
right.
And light incense stick at home. So in this way, you're connecting them to Krishna. So
I still have that lighter. It means so much to me. You know, actually, a lot of devotees started collecting lighters after that. And I even got a few more. But the first one I got was really powerful. It was during the Black Friday we have in America. It's the day after Thanksgiving when everyone goes crazy for shopping, more crazy than usual. And we were downtown San Francisco chanting and distributing books, and this hippie couple came along, and it was a huge crowded sidewalk, and I showed them the Bhagavad Gita. They just sat down right in the middle of the sidewalk and started looking at it, and very interested, absorbed. And then finally they, you know, I asked them for a donation. They looked in every pocket they had, in their backpacks, in their pocket, and they had nothing. And then he said, you probably don't want this lighter. And I said, yes, I do. And I could see on his face that he actually didn't want to give it. It was a big sacrifice. And he gave it anyway. And I gave him the Bhagavad Gita. And a half hour later, one of his friends came over and goes, could we borrow the lighter just for a few minutes? And I could tell what a huge sacrifice they had made. And I took it home and I cleaned it 7 times. And then I use it for my deity worship at home. And every time I'd light that flame, I would think, you know, these people, it's a connection. They made a sacrifice, definitely, the one that they could make. And it's not a certain amount of money, but it's the kind of connection they make. And the way that we do that, we open the door, we create the framework in which they can make some sacrifice to Krishna. That's a great service. The other idea that, you know, I won't do that because it's a little bit, Sridham, onerous. Onerous. What does the word mean? It doesn't mean purity. Onerous means what? Yes. You don't have the definition written there, do you? You better look it up again. It means troublesome. You know, it's very weighty. Even though it's troublesome to ask people for donation, it's really the exciting part of the whole exercise or exchange. Don't miss the best part. It's the greatest show on earth. Because it's actually people are making a decision. What they do with their money is a big deal, because everyone's thinking, my money's going to save me from death. My money's going to allow me to live happily in the material world. And when they give it up, they're making a conscious choice, willingly or unwillingly, they're doing something for Krishna. And if you point that out, that changes their life. So, yeah, it's a big thing, being able to take something in exchange for them taking Krishna into their life and giving something back. We can even ask beggars to do that. When I was in Jagannath Puri with our yatra, and we were distributing books out in front of the Jagannath Mandir like we do every year, it's uproarious, uproarious scene. And as we were distributing here, there, and everywhere, a professional beggar woman came over to me, and she started doing this thing, you know. And so I finally handed her a book and some prasadam, a lollipop. think I have one right here. Like that. I gave her a lollipop, and then she kept saying, "Oh, give it money." I said, "No, no, you give me money." And then she was like, "No, no, me money." She's already had the momentum. "No, you give me." And I said, "No, you give me." My conviction was so strong because I wasn't asking for myself. I was asking on behalf of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I'm not asking a beggar. Who cares what your external occupation is? You're a soul. And so, no, you give. And I'm not thinking I'm trying to dominate. I'm just thinking, like, this is what's best for you. If you give something, it'll be good for you. And so then a crowd came around. You know, a big, huge American and a little Aryan beggar lady with rags on, albeit fake rags, but, you know, she was begging. And, like, who's going to win? And because she was a pious lady, she lives in the Dom, she finally, all of a sudden, a smile broke out on her face. Because she knew I was right. She knew I was right. And she reached in, she grabbed her change, she gave me a big pile of change. And the crowd knew it was right. They went, ha! And so that, you know, that thing, that idea that I have, if I go out, what'll happen if I ask people for donations? You know, ask him for a lot, ask him for their whole house, whatever it is. If you're doing it on behalf of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and you're doing it gently, but it is surgery, you know, you're doing it. Surgery means you're doing it medicinally and correctly and gently, carefully. Then it's the most consequential of all interactions that people are going to have. So it's really important. You're a representative. And you're taking it on behalf. Thanks for bringing that up. Yeah, because sometimes people say, "I don't have any money." Of course, not for sets, we don't take a penny. But oftentimes we'll just say, "Yeah, just give a penny, give something." And they'll go, "Just a penny?" And then they'll give more than that, but it opens the door for them to realize that I can give something. You bring the fruits home and offer them. My first donation I ever got, I didn't know any better. I had just joined the temple and they took me out door to door. And somebody gave me a sack of onions. I had no idea. I was all excited. I came running back to the Sankirtan parties. Look what I got. And they go, "Throw it over the bridge." Like, it's like, what happened? You know, we don't eat onions. I didn't know that. What other things? And how's the timing?
I think another last question.
Last question or comment? You get the last one.
So we once met a family at the door, and they were very pious. And if I remember correctly, they were South Indian. So they said that they already had a version of the Srimad Bhagavatam written by their saint.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't know how to progress that further. You know, how to compare it to Srila Prabhupada, you know, our Srimad Bhagavatam. Or whether we should just accept that they have a
Srimad Bhagavatam
and walk away.
No, I mean, if they're South India, they're pious, you could keep trying. Mm-hmm. And you can just, there's a devotee in Vrindavan who's Radhakund Dasi. Do you know her?
No.
Anyway, she's been distributing since the 70s, but now she works out in front of Krishna Balaram Mandir. But I see her all the time with Bhagavad Gita, comparing it. Everyone in India says, "I already have a Bhagavad Gita." And, you know, she points out that this is a synthesis of all the teachings of the various acharyas, has the word for word, has pictures. You know, she just goes through and points out the features that are more fully expanded in our Bhagavad Gita, and she does quite well like that. So we can also point out that, you know, our version of the Bhagavatam has a synthesis of the teachings of all the acharyas. Ramanuja's there, Madhva's there, Shankar's there. You know, they're all there. Plus, you know, pointing out that the pictures are really good for kids. The other Bhagavatams that you can get elsewhere don't have that. Those kinds of things. Just a general point about talking to Indians. Now, selling Srimad Bhagavatam sets is a very specialized kind of service. And when devotees go out to do that, basically they're focusing on that. So it takes them a little longer at every house that they get invited into because they're specifically trying to present the Bhagavatam. It's a little difficult to straddle and say, I'll sell Bhagavatam or something else, because you won't know if you're able to sell the Bhagavatam set unless you keep following through to the end. So sometimes you go out and you don't sell any Bhagavatam sets. Sometimes you go out and sell 3 or 5 or 11. We did 11 going door to door in Illinois in the group that one day. But sometimes you don't sell any in a 2 or 3 hour period, because sometimes it takes 40 minutes at each door, or something like that. And then at the end they'll like, I'll come to the temple or I'll do it later. But if they do say, I'd rather get it at the temple, what would you all say?
Wow, such a good idea.
But you'd lean into it, right? You'd really lean into it. It's like, go ahead, I'll just come to the temple and get it.
Wow, such a good idea.
But then what would you say after that?
The temple has come to you.
I think it's a really good, I really like the way you put things, and it's a great idea, and I totally accept it. But here's another idea. We came here randomly. We didn't know you lived here. So it must be Krishna's arrangement. So today the temple came to you. And like that. So I wanted to make a general point about how I talk to Indians when I'm going around door to door on the street or anywhere else. And that is, I generally don't present a book to them or put anything in their hands. Because what I do is, if I'm not selling Bhagavatams, I stand at their door, or if it's on the street or wherever it may be, and I tell them about the work that we're doing. First of all, I acknowledge that they already know Bhagavad Gita, that their mother read Bhagavad Gita and their grandmother memorized Bhagavad Gita. I tell them those three things. And I tell them, and you know more about this than I do. Say it.
You know more about this than I do.
Yes, and then I say what we're doing is we're spreading the ideas of Bhagavad Gita all over the world to help solve the complexities of the world, because as you know better than I do, the world's problems come from material solutions. Real solutions come from the spiritual platform. So what we're doing is we're starting schools to teach kids about Bhagavad Gita. We're also printing them in many different languages, like Japanese, German, Swedish, and we're distributing all over the world. So what we're doing today is a fundraiser. Everyone say fundraiser.
Fundraiser.
And we're just asking for money.
We're just asking for money.
And everyone's just giving donations. And we use it to spread Bhagavad Gita. Does that sound like a good idea? Yeah. So, I don't hand them a card, I don't hand them a flyer, I don't hand them a book. I just make friends and I tell them what we're doing, and then I ask for money, and then they're happy to give. Indians love to give donations. And if you explain it to them like that, they'll go and they'll give a donation. After that, you can put all kinds of books in their hands and they'll take it. If you start with the Bhagavad Gita, say this book that shows you how to get free from stress, they'll be so insulted. It's like, I obviously know Bhagavad Gita already. Or they feel guilty because they know they should and they don't. So don't insult them. Don't make them feel guilty. When you meet Indians, just explain to them something that they already know more about than you know, and express that and be successful. Okay, yes.
Just a couple of points you wanted to mention. So today, apart from the Bhagavatams, we have selected a particular area in Watford, myself from Vrindavan Chand Prabhu. We went to this particular place and we did see quite a few signs of Indian families. However, we are ready. So Maharaj, would it be okay if it is obviously not an Indian family, if they open, we present other books which we are carrying with us?
Yeah.
So we'll do that. And then when you get the opportunity, as Maharaj was saying, look for the signs. We were in Pinner quite a few months ago doing book distribution. We met a South Indian family. And first it was just me. Vindarika was, I think, Sachi or something. She was hungry. She was in the car. So like I said, this is the last house, and I was really praying intensely that, you know, we spend 1.5 hours and nothing's gone out. I said, okay, we'll have to go, but let's just try this last house. And I pressed the bell, and this South Indian lady came up in the middle of the cooking, and she was like, oh, she was so happy. She said, oh, come on in, and straight away, you know, without actually having to see what I'm offering. She said, hang on a second, let me switch off my cooking, and she switched off her cooking. Her husband was sleeping. She ran and she woke up her husband. Somebody's here from the temple, please come. And then they welcomed me, they gave me a glass of water, then they said, please tell us what is it that you're here for. So that's when I started presenting, and then Vindarika Ramya joined in. And just after like 10 minutes or so, they were from South India. They were so convinced. They were like, absolutely, we will take it. And they didn't even ask the money. I said, we're only collecting donation. We are only asking for 199. Not a problem. He took out his credit card and gave the Lakshmi. So it's just, I mean, I was so overtaken by the piety element which you just explained, that the Indians have so much, you know, in them. It's just about the approach we have towards them with respect and putting it in their court that you know it so well, was actually very helpful in this particular instance. Dhruvaraj, I have one request, which is Sudhava Prabhu asked me to request you to also mention to everybody here is about the success, briefly about Saptarishi, because tomorrow in the Rath Yatra, the Pandav Sena will have a stall of the books, and we're going to try for the first time something called as a Saptarishi, which has just happened. New York has become a big place. Actually, they've been distributing these sets of 7 Srila Prabhupada books together. And that's called Saptarishi. Maybe just briefly, you can mention about.
Yeah, during the Rath Yatra, it just came from in New York City. We distributed over 60 Saptarishis, 60 times 7, a book. So what they're doing now is grouping books together. We call stacks, and they have 7 primary books like Journey of Self Discovery, The Science of Self Discovery, Nectar Devotion, Krishna Book. Nectar Devotion,
Bhagavad Gita,
First Canto of Srimad Bhagavatam,
Krishna book,
I said, but there's 7 books altogether, and they put some attractive ribbon lengthwise and across the midsection, so it's crisscross like that, and it holds together quite nicely. You can hold it together in a stack, and you can also hold it by the ribbon and just hand it to somebody like that. So they actually lead with the 7 book stack. And that's the first thing they show to people. And when they do, one of the things they say is, you look like a very intelligent person. How much do you read? On a scale, how much do you like to read? Say, I like to read. Say, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much of a reader are you? And then they say whatever and say, great. And then you hand them the Saptarishi stack, and then you can. They point to each book and they just say something really briefly about each one. Like they'll say about the Nectar Devotion, they say, this one shows like the yoga of gratitude. Everything comes from the heart and how to develop that. This one, the Bhagavad Gita, has been read by Thoreau, Emerson, Gandhi, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., the Beatles. We'd like to add your name to the list. Then there's some of the other books, Signs of Self-Realization. This actually shows the science of how to get happiness from within. As you see, there's a mantra for each book. They just point to it briefly and say, this one, this one, this one, this one, all the way up. Then they say, how much do you think these books would cost, like if you got them in a bookstore like Barnes & Noble or Amazon? And the, you know, they usually say like 100, 200, something like that. And say, well, we're doing them only for the cost price. And each book, it's only for $7. So 7 books, it's $49 altogether. And then people very happily take the Saptarishi. At least over 60 people took them at the Rath Yatra. So we've always advocated, as you probably remember, that whatever you sell one of or two of, you can always sell in multiples. And that always sell in bunches like bananas. So I highly recommend trying this Saptarishi. The more you show them, the more you'll sell, and bunch them together, whichever books you have. And you can do a big Saptarishi, or you can even do a smaller stack too. But if you put some small books together, like a paperback Bhagavad Gita, a Shriyashupanishad, a Nectar of Instruction, and maybe a Perfection of Yoga, you can have a smaller stack too, and people can take that as well. And then they also have stacked together the Lilamrita. So when you get the seven books, it's called the Saptarishi, and when you get the Saptarishi plus the Lilamrita, then they call it a Mahat Tattva. And so anyway, those are important points, best practices to pass along to you.
So Vrindavan Chandra Prabhu, perhaps you could just take us through, do you have the maps? We have it on the Google, right? We can just send it to everybody. Prabhu, just with my mistake, I forgot to print them in the morning. Do you have a printer here, Prabhu? Printer at all?
Yes. What do you want to print?
We just need to print 5 maps, Prabhu.
Okay.
Yeah. But you can tell us about what we're doing, how we are going, the team to do the right work.
So,
pass on this mic.
Hare Krishna. So, we estimated 5 groups.
Hey, let me see the paper.
And the groups?
No, we can do it now, bro.
We can do it.
What we need to make sure is that each one of us who are carrying the credit card machine, at least there is one person in each of the groups.
Okay, we'll work out the details. In terms of how we're going to do it, we have allocated 5 areas on the map. So we'll put the leader, we'll send you the map electronically and we'll do a hard copy. And you'll have a team working with you. You'll have a set of the smaller books. And then we'll give you copies of single volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam, which you can take and show. So, yeah, we've got the single volumes, and then we've got sets in the car. And we'll just have to logistically work out that. We'll give you my number because I'll have the sets in my car. And what else is there? We have presentation folders. The one Maharaj is looking at the moment. You know, that's a systematic presentation of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We have about 5 copies available. So yes. You can, the leader can take 1 copy with you. What else is there? Just in terms
prashad,
of...
We have prashad to give
out. Yeah, we have prashad to give out.
I mean, not to differentiate, but it's nice when somebody calls you in. We also have 4 Mangalarti sweets in the boxes for those. I mean, of course, you're in, you're talking to them. So once you're in, start with giving the Mangalarti sweet that, you know, that there's a nice, beautiful box from the temple. So it just helps start the conversation. So Maharaj, maybe you can just point out the presentation.
Yes. That presentation, as Maharaj says, the local saints. Oh, we'll just start off.
The Advent, talking about the situation of Preekshit Maharaj, actually how this was spoken by Narada Muni to Srila Vyasadeva.
The inspiration to do the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then this is a compelling story about the king who knew he had 7 days to live. And how many do we have?
7.
Actually 7, because it could be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then here we have the how it's the ripened fruit. You got to hold.
The ripened fruit of all the Vedas. You have all the Vedas, but here's the fruit that comes out of all the Vedas. And then the way in which Preekshit Maharaj received it when he had 7 days to live. Then we have the story of Dharma and the bull, and here are the various avatars. Then you've got simplifying the Vedic philosophy. So as I mentioned before, the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita into the Srimad Bhagavatam explained in story form. It's much easier for kids to understand everything about what's in Bhagavad Gita and imbibe the values through stories in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And here's some of the stories. You have Chitraketu, you have the Yamadutas, you have Gajendra. Compelling stories. And then this is an authentic presentation. Now here are the acharyas that they've heard of, like Sri Ramanuja, Sri Madhvacharya, and various saints. Like here you have Tukaram, and Balabhacharya, the Gujaratis, Pushti Margis, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then, of course, the Beatles. Don't forget the Beatles. And then the scientific aspects about how that talks about the development of the embryo. Thousands of years ago, it was described in Srimad Bhagavatam, now things that modern science is just starting to describe. And the concept of time by measuring how light passes over a cluster of atoms and so forth. And also the cosmology of the universe. So there's science in this also. And then you have the idea of cultural presentation. So the origin of Buddhism, the origin of Jainism is all explained in the Bhagavatam. Gives you the whole tradition of the Vedic culture. And Indian safari. Secrets of yoga and meditation. All of the Bhagavatam. And for kids education. Prahlad's teachings. It's a five-year-old teaching other five-year-olds. Well, what's he saying to them? This is for your kids also. And also Dhruva Maharaj, he was 5 years old. He's not too young to start to get these things. And what was their character? How did they end up in life? And the qualities of Hanuman, a Vedic role model, the service mood. And then also Sanskrit. You can learn Sanskrit from this book. Just in the back, too, it has the pronunciation guide. Anybody can learn this really easily. It's proven, too, the Sanskrit effect. It was a scientific study recently, secular study, that showed kids who learned Sanskrit, they developed their brains more robustly over time. It's a very powerful language. And then here's the book published by our company, the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, got the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, how we're putting books in all over the world, for the benefit of the world. We're building huge temples to bring the Vedic culture forward. We have food for life, etc. And finally, Hare Krishna. Oh, this is another point that's important. Oftentimes people say, well, why don't I just take one volume out of it? I say, I really like the way you think. That's a great idea. And I accept it. So here's the problem. The Shastras explain how the Bhagavatam is actually a deity of Krishna. The first canto is his lotus feet. The third, fourth canto is his midsection. 10th canto is his smiling face. 11th, 12th canto is his crown. And so you can't really break up the deity. So they understand that. So that's important too, just from the Shastra. And Hare Krishna. So if you follow those basic principles in explaining to anybody who's open to it, and use the other principles that I talked about, like you know more about this than I do, and stuff like that.
Nachariyar Marman, Nachariyar Marman, Nachariyar Marman, Nachariyar Marman, hey, Nachariyar Marman, Nachariyar Marman, Nachariyar Marman, Nachariyar Marman.